Bizim mamız.
Right, folks, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik lana abdika nabiyika Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma la sahla illa ma ja'altahu sahla wa anta tajalul hazna idha shi'ta sahla. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatik. Ya rabbil kareem. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Everybody, good evening and welcome. Broadcasting, alhamdulillah, from Makkah al-Mukarramah, sharrafah Allah. Alhamdulillah, a very quiet Makkah, subhanallah. Unbelievably quiet. It's sad, actually, because, you know, we used to really enjoy the lives here, right? The kind of the roadshow kind of situation. We'd get the people together. But it's a bit tough. The kind of like the regulations and the police and all the rest of it, they're like so on top, man, and they put so much pressure upon the hotels and everything. So it's actually quite quite depressing. Anyway, I hope that the reception is good enough. I don't think it's going to be great, but I think it'll be bearable, inshallah. Just keep giving me feedback on the keep giving me feedback on the live, and you let me know. Salam to Shakila, Zara, hope you're good. Russian Jess, the legends from London. South anyway, not London exactly, but you know. Jazakum Allah Khair Abbas for the update, that'd be great. Omar, no problem at all. Shout out to Zulfiqar and Muhammad Owais. Nice to see you, Muhammad Owais Sahib. Patels are in the house. And with Islam representing Stockport. Safiya, Maryam, mashallah, and Umar Ismail. See, we even have LP students who are close by, but we're just finding it tough to be able to organize it. We had such a nightmare last time. Like a real nightmare, stressed everybody out. So we're just doing it from the room now. Shout out to Marina. Hope you're good. Holding Manchester down for us. Hajira, Bilal from the States, mashallah. Halima, Hanifa, Shams from London, Maysara. Fatima from Toronto, from the Six. Welcome to all of you guys. All right. Aisha is also from Toronto. Nice to see you all. Alhamdulillah. So I hope that, and Shahan, mashallah. Mashallah. My guy. I'm going to get back to you, bro. I'm just super busy, but I will get back to you, inshallah, next week. Yeah, so I do apologize. Like I said, the internet might not be great because I'm not using the SIM. And we've got a great SIM. A really good Hajj and Umrah SIM. You know, we did a lot of feedback with the company that we used last year, Hajj 2025. We had some challenges then. And subhanAllah, respected a company. They've made us a bespoke SIM because obviously we have quite a large number of people. They make quite a bit of money. And they gave us like, they engaged us in the consultation, which is great. You know, we feel so important these days, man. People engage us. You see, Umar Ismail, this is what happens when you don't know, bro. When you don't know, then you get to know. Ask all the people that you've been with that are in World SIM version 2.0, alhamdulillah. So we now have a SIM that, unlike any other of the companies now, because this is what we asked for. We said, we don't mind if you charge more, but this is what we want. We want a SIM that allows us to manually choose any of the three networks. Every network, every SIM, every eSIM, they lock into normally what's the cheapest network, right? For obvious reasons. Some of them go for one which is more expensive and then they can charge more, right? So there's not many that use STC in the kingdom, right? And if they do, if the Western company like an Aerolo or whatever, like the big famous ones, which I don't think does better, but just I'm just saying, as an example, they lock into STC, which is the most, which is the highest quality network, then it's locked in, and they charge you more for it, right? We negotiated with the company, blah, 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 promised them that we'll give them, you know, enough people for it to be worth their while. They make less profit per SIM, but the number of people is a lot more. Alhamdulillah. So we have a SIM where we can choose between the networks. And we've done our testing over the last couple of months. It's been great. So great that I use all the data. And they gave me a free SIM, you know, or whatever, as part of the group. But I've gone through the 20 gigs so quick, Yanni, that I don't want to buy another one. I'd have to buy another one. So I'm a cheapskate in it. Cheapskate. I use a free one. I'm not buying another one. So we're going Wi-Fi and it's a bit choppy. Anyway, long explanation. My apologies. As you know, we've got to get the information out. Right. Today, the section that we're going to be covering is... Here you are. So let's read all of it. The Arabic, yeah, but it's still the first paragraph actually. Is إذا أجدبت الأرض وقحت المطر صلوها جماعة وفرادا وصفتها في موضعها وأحكامها كعيد وإذا أراد الإمام الخروج لها وعظ الناس وأمرهم بالتوبة من المعاصي والخروج من المظالم وترك التشاحن والصيام والصدقة ويعدهم يوما يخرجون فيه ويتنظف ولا يتطيب ويخرج متواضعا متخشعا متدللا متضرعا ومعه أهل الدين والصلاح والشيوخ والصبيان المميزون وإن خرج أهل الذمة منفردين عن المسلمين لا بيوم لا لم يمنعوا. So when the land becomes parched and the rain is withheld, it is to be prayed whether in congregation or individually. In terms of where and how it is prayed, it is like the Eid prayer. Once the imam decides the prayer will be established, he admonishes the people, ordering them to seek repentance for their sins, avoid oppression and enmity to others, to fast and to give charity. He sets a date for the prayer and they attend having cleansed themselves but unperfumed. They should attend in a humble, hushful, lowly, supplicatory manner. They should be accompanied by the people of religion and righteousness, the elderly and those children at the age of discernment. If the Ahl al-Dhimma request to also go out and pray, separate to the Muslims, they should not be prevented as long as it occurs on the same day. All right? We'll definitely cover this part. We might even cover the next line. I'll just say it now. فَيُصَلِّ بِهِمْ ثُمْ يَخْتُبْ وَاحِدَةً يَفْتَتِحُهَا بِالتَّكْبِيرِ كَخُطْبَةِ الْعِيدِ وَيُكْثَرُ فِيهَا الْاسْتِغْفَارُ وَقِرَاءَةِ الْآيَاتِ الَّتِي فِيهَا الْأَمْرُ بِهِ. Once the imam then comes out, he leads them in prayer and then gives a single sermon, opening it with the takbir, just like the Sermon of Eid. He seeks forgiveness in it multiple times and recites those verses which come onto it, i.e. forgiveness, seeking forgiveness. All right? So that's the plan, inshallah, all right, for today. Let's jump straight in. We did quite a bit about the whole concept of using the power of people and purity. We spoke about that last week. We finished off with that last week. So that was one. That was basically... using children that have not got to the age of accountability, so there's no sin there, and they're not small, so they're not giving us a headache, so it's just, you know, purity, right? So that's number one. And then we spoke about the elderly, the shuyukh, and they were basically referring to people who have been doing a lot of ibadah, and therefore they've got a lot of credit in the bank, and so therefore we want to use those folks. And then ahluddin and salah, meaning people of practicing people who are righteous, the scholars, and so on, which is clearly all building up to, and Sheikh Uthaymeen is going to take the opportunity. This is why the reason that we cover this book. This is the reason why we do Sharh al-Mumti', because Sheikh Uthaymeen, you know, maybe I see a little bit, maybe the reason that I love him so much, alayhi rahmatullah, his work so much, is because naturally I seem to be like him. When he teaches, he's all over the show. Confirm, folks, that I'm back, because I think I am. The return of the Mac. Is it a return of the Mac or not, folks? Yes. Hajra got it spot on. Great breakfast, horrible internet. Alhamdulillah. All right. So what I decided to do is to bite the bullet and buy a new SIM. Right? Buy a new SIM. And I think the Sophia did my best and said that she's going to pay for it. All right. So good. Well done. Yeah, I was using the Wi-Fi. Hyatt Regency, the best hotel on the planet, the worst Wi-Fi. 100% correct. 100% correct. So I bought the SIM. And again, just to illustrate the quality of the SIM, I went onto Mobily and it wasn't yani showing the kind of level I wanted. I went on to STC. I chose STC. Okay. And now you're looking at the stream on STC. Omar Ismail, you can now comment now on your world SIM and sick thingy. And I think you want to just maybe edit that a little bit. You're welcome. Right, folks. But don't put nazar upon my SIM. All right. So, with alhamdulillah, the video is continuing, and you saw the original introduction, and I'm hoping that the video, it will, that the final video will, you know, cut it up or edit it or something. I've seen that before, that it cleverly, you know, removes the middle part. And so what I wanted to say is that now that we're speaking about how, you know, the weave of Sheikh Uthaymeen, you know, about putting on the taking advantage of the direction of the subject that's potentially indicating the suitability to speak about another subject. This one is about aqidah, and this is what I would have done, and this is what he has done, alhamdulillah. So he says that to Zad al-Mustaqni', our text, the author took the opportunity and said, as a result of this, that it is permissible, وَأُبِيحَ التَوَسُّلْ بِالصَّالِحِينَ. It is permissible to make tawassul using the righteous people. Now, this concept of tawassul, if you are practicing Muslim, been in the game for a while, you know that it's a very contentious area. It's a problematic concept. There's a permissible part. There's a dodgy part. That it's one of the reason that it's so controversial is because it leads to the splitting of Muslims by identity as well, right? So it's not like just the fiqh controversy. It's an aqidah controversy that, like, you know, the Sufis and Salafis, or Ahlul Sunnah and Ahlul Bid'ah, or the Brillos and the Brelvis and whatever. Yeah, it's a dividing concept. And this is not the time and space for that, okay? There's so much content out there. And I've always been surprised by this. Like, it's mad to me that a person in this deen, a deen that so many, especially, you know, when I say mad to me, everyone brings their own personal kind of perspective to deen. I came to deen from, you can call like a state of kufr, right? Meaning that for me, it was an intellectual revolution. And I was quite comfortable with the idea that this deen had not anything to offer other than normal secular life that I was enjoying at that time. So I entered like a convert. And therefore, my doubts were the same as like a person reverting into Islam. And when I entered into deen, it was with a strong dose of da'wah, and I embraced the da'wah, giving da'wah to non-Muslims. I used to get involved heavily with that in my first early years of studying. I do a lot of lecturing to non-Muslims, challenging them. The kind of stuff that you see on Hyde Park and Corners and all the kind of the videos that you see of today. I used to enjoy that, only for a small period of time, only in the 90s. And the reason I used to enjoy it is because I used to take intellectual satisfaction from it. I wanted to know, back in those days, right, can you imagine that we're giving da'wah to non-Muslims, especially Christians, because Jews obviously are in their own place, others here and there, but it's... Are we back, folks? I think we are back. Yeah, we're back, yeah. All right. You know what's happening is that it's connecting to the Wi-Fi. I need to sort... You know what it is? I got this phone and I still haven't had time to do the settings for it. You know, that how you meant to remove networks and things like that and all the rest of it. So my apologies. So it's going to probably try to latch on to the Wi-Fi again. If it happens, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to disconnect it, go back to the eSIM, whatever. But it keeps connecting to the
No Wi-Fi. Anyway, I was basically saying that tawassul is that kind of quintessential thing that you bring non-Muslims out of. They are using Isa alayhi salam, they are using Maryam, they are using whatever and claiming to be monotheist, right? And you'd be like, and we'd be so proud. We'd be saying that if you are really, honestly, after, forget Islam, forget all the problems we have with it, forget the culture, forget, yani, you know, blah, 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 all the issues. Do you want monotheism? If that's what you want and you're willing to overlook all the other kind of things that you don't understand, then this is your only choice. And you prove it to them, show them all the world's faiths, and then say, you know what, it's true. I can get over the other little points. I might not be able to cover, might not be able to pray, might not, but this is monotheism. And we'd be so proud about it. And they would, you know, embrace it. We'd be so proud about Tawheed. Then the stupid Muslims themselves, dumb Pakistani, then they go and they do all their own tawassul themselves. They create their own artificial structures. And so we've got, and we have our own Isa alayhi salams, and we have our own Virgin Marys, and we have our own yani statues in between, going to people, going to graves, whatever. I could never understand that. Like, forget yani what aqidah and not aqidah and what group, whatever, whatnot. It's just bizarre that a Muslim, practicing Muslim, would actually feel that the advancement of their own version or their own madhab of their deen involves the same thing that we're warning other people is an absolute, yani, the opposite of a pure, clean, monotheistic faith. Anyway, so that's why, you know, it's a discussion point. So, as Sheikh Uthaymeen says, as for this statement that they've made about in Rod al-Murbi' that a tawassul bis salihin, meaning to use the righteous, is permissible when it comes to dua. Sheikh says this ibara ala itlaqiha fiha nazar. Now, yani, to say this statement just like that without giving any context is not right. Yani, this, you know what I mean? Right? We shouldn't be doing it like that. Walakinahum, because you need to be more accurate. And Sheikh says that what they should have said, may Allah have mercy upon them, our scholars, and the Hanbalis here particularly the author of Ar-Rawd al-Murbi', the commentary to Zad al-Mustaqim, what he should have said is, At-tawassul bi-du'a'i salihin, yani is yajuz, that the du'a of the salihin, to use that is something which is permissible. Because that is a fact. There's no doubt about that a righteous person making du'a and an irreligious or non-righteous person making du'a, they're not the same. And that one's going to be closer to being accepted versus the one that is not the righteous. What's the evidence for this? Sheikh Uthaymeen says, that's what happened at the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he was the Amir, and they were suffering a drought, and he went to Abbas radiallahu anhu, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, Allahumma inna kunna natawassil ilayka bi nabiyyina fatasqina, oh Allah, when we used to have a drought at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we would make tawassul with our Prophet, and you sent the rain with us. You sent the rain down upon us. Fa wa innana natawassalu ilayka bi ammi nabiyyina sallallahu alaihi wasallam fasqina. So now we make tawassul with the uncle of our Prophet. So give us the rain. Thumma qal, قُمْ يَا عَبَّاسِ فَدَعُوا اللَّهَ فَقَامَ فَدَعَى فَسَقَاهُمُ اللَّهِ. And so he told Abbas, stand, make dua, come on. And he made dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the rain. So this hadith in Bukhari, very famous, obviously it's the absolute root of all of the thing. So the people of bid'ah, the people have lost the plot entirely, honestly. Like, they thought that it's okay to go to dead people. You see, you're allowed to go by the right, invoke the dead, invoke the graves, and you know, life, or they've got some kind of ability, and the details will go on and on and on. Right? They took that from this hadith here. This hadith is something very, very clear. Umar is using a statement, and a lot of time people they twist the meanings of words. He said tawassul, tawassul means yani to seek the means thereby, and so yes, they did seek the means from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, meaning the Bedouin did come to the Prophet ﷺ and said, you know, listen, we're suffering from drought, make dua for us. He was the Prophet.
he was the one that they asked for everything. Why wouldn't they ask him to make dua? And we've already accepted that the good people are going to have better chance with dua than anyone else. So of course they went and asked the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he made dua. He didn't like use him and say, you know, by his dua. He is the one who made dua. And so the Prophet, so Umar, he is basically saying, right, obviously those who are family of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they have special restrictions, they have special status in the eyes of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. They're not allowed to take from the sadaqah, they're not allowed to do this, that, whatever. They have a special status. And so we're going to maintain that special status, but not by their status. Even though they have special status, it's not by their status that we are going to be asking, but rather we're going to get those people to ask. So if the Salihin themselves by their own selves do that yani calling, this is great. This is great. We've already said that they're more likely as righteous people, good people, deserving people, are going to be responded to over anybody else. And despite that, Sheikh Uthaymeen and many scholars said that in even this permissible action, وَالتَوَسُّلْ بِدُعَاءِ الصَّالِحِينَ مُقَيَّدٌ بِعَدْمِ الْفِتْنَةِ. Even the correct way to understand this whole chapter of tawassul, using the means of the dua of the salihin to get a job done, using that means, is caveated, if that's even a word. The caveat is that there has to be no fitna involved. And the fitna can be of two types. بَنْ يَكُنْ دُعَاءُهُ سَبَبًا لِفِتْنَتِهِ هُوَ أَوْ لِفِتْنَةِ غَيْرِهِ فَإِنْ خِيفَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ تُرِكَ. He goes that we've got to be aware that this is a situation that can cause some kind of fitna. What's the fitna? The fitna can be in the person himself. He starts to think a little bit of something about himself. I must be special. I must be holy. Better than that. Holy than thou. Come to me. I'm your guy. Right? And, you know, there's one thing joking about that. You know, we joke about that all the time. That's fine. Jokes. And, you know, I had a joke with someone today. SubhanAllah. During Ramadan, I was making dua for so many folks. Today, someone brought me some unbelievable news. Actually, you cannot imagine the magnitude, subhanAllah, of this news. One of the brothers that I know very, very well, who has been politically persecuted to a whole different level. And today his court case came to a fruition in one of the Muslim countries in which there's no justice. And this person is a big player on a whole different level. And subhanAllah, he was found not guilty of everything. It was all politics. Massive yani result. And then, you know, he sent me the message. He goes, freed. Yeah, like that. And I said, Allahu Akbar. And then I thought to myself, I said, man, do you know, yani, how much? Then I thought, wait a minute, are you doing my bestie? This news that you heard yesterday, and you're just telling me today. And so therefore, I just, yani, just humiliated myself. Or did this actually happen today? He goes, no, it happened today. Just right now, literally right now, sending the message right now. I go, if that's the case, then I'm taking full credit then, bro. Full credit. That's me last night. Full credit. So that's okay to do that in a joke. But, you know, there are some people who lose their minds and think that they're special. So that's the fitna of him. And Sheikh Uthaymeen says also, if there's fitna of the others, in which they start to lose their minds, and they now stop to make dua themselves, or they think that their dua is not worthy themselves, and they only go to the other person for that dua, that's another fitna. You get what I'm saying, folks? And so therefore, for this kind of reasoning, for this kind of like basis, if there is a fear of fitna, it should be left off. Leave that and just rely upon yourself and don't get involved in anything which is controversial. That's in the permissible matters. I want you to think about that. Okay, well, I love what Sheikh Uthaymeen says. And then he clarifies what the impermissible parts are. He goes that there are two impermissible aspects of tawassul. The first is, وَأَمَّا التَّوَسُّلْ بِالصَّالِحِينَ بِذَوَاتِهِمْ فَهَذَا لَا يَجُوزُ. This, you know, making tawassul by the person, yani by using the actual self of a righteous person, this is not something, فِعْلُ مَا يَكُونَ لِشَيْءٍ. That tawassul is an action. It's something that someone does. And someone actually would you know, perform themselves. وَذَاتُ صَالِحٍ لَيْسَتْ وَسِيلَةً لِشَيْءٍ. That a person who's righteous, right? A person who's righteous isn't themselves just the cause of the dua being answered, but rather the action of that person. It's an active thing. It's not like a passive reality kind of, you know, whatever. فَلَا إِلَاقَ بَيْنَ الدُّعَى وَذَاتَ الرَّجُلَ الصَّالِحِ. There is no connection between a dua and a actual holy righteous person just by their nature. So what's an example of a tawassul by the person, by the guy or the self of a person? It's like if you say, oh Allah, I ask you by fulan, right? So fulan might be, you know,
let's say Abbas, right? So I know that Abbas is righteous. Everybody knows Abbas is righteous. So we all agree upon that. And I believe that the world knows that. And he is righteous. But he doesn't know anything about this. Might have even passed away. But let's just say he's even alive as well. But doesn't know, not involved. And ask, Ya Allah, I ask you by Abbas. What does that mean? I ask you by the fact that, Yani, you know, that Abbas is holy. What's that got to do with you? Yani, making your dua and him being holy. Now, we know in the hadith, and Sheikh Uthaymeen explains this, you know, my class Fitna, which might be teaching again at the end of the year, possibly, I'd like to bring it back. Yani, he has a really beautiful path. The permissible forms of tawassul, and the most highest forms of tawassul is tawassul using your own actions, right? So if we're talking about tawassul means what? To use the means to get something done. Tawassul by your actions is the obvious one. It's the worship paradigm. I call it the Fatiha paradigm. When we're teaching dua, we always say put something forward so that you feel more deserving when you ask. Iyyaka na'budu, you alone it is that we worship. Wa iyyaka nasta'in, and it is you that we seek now help. We now request dua from you. You put something forward. And so if you were to do action, give sadaqah, do fasting, this, that, whatever. Why is it at the end of the day, the dua of the muftir, the one who's breaking his fast, is so thinking? Because the whole day he put that fast forward. So if I say, Ya Allah, by virtue of what I've done, oh Allah, by virtue of the charity, oh Allah, if you know that I was sincere, Ya Allah, if it, the hadith of the three people who were in the cave, how did that the stone move? Each one, yeah, and he said, oh Allah, you know that I did this and that, whatever, for your sake. And if you accept it, then please, yeah, and help us. And the stone moved. You know the famous hadith. So by your own actions. So you understand how it can't just be you. Just I ask you by that guy. And the other one, same, very similar. وَكَذَلِكَ لَا يَجُوزَ التَّوَسُّلُ بِجَاهِ الصَّالِحِينَ, by the status of the salihin. And the jah, the status, means how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers that person. Meaning that if that person has a huge status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, might not be someone who is there, thereabouts or whatever. It's very similar to that or whatever. But anyway, the Prophet Sheikh Uthaymeen says that the jah of the salihin, that only benefits the guy who's making dua himself. It's not going to benefit you. So if he's got a high status of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's that got to do with you? It would benefit him when he's making dua, not going to وَلَا يَنْفَعُ غَيْرَهُ. This is his position of Allah, despite how high it is. And this is yani basically saying, oh Allah, I ask you by the status of Abbas. Okay? So the first one, I ask you by Abbas, by his self. And the second is by his status, his qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So anyway, asking a guy to make dua whilst his life is allowed. I don't even want to say it's recommended. Right? Because that is the dua miyad yani crisis, right? Everyone always making dua miyad, always yani outsourcing the dua when you are the one who is most responded to. You are the one who knows your dua best, the most sincere, the most desperate. All the key qualities, ingredients that make a successful dua, you are the one who's got it. The other guy is going to need to come back to you. What is it that you want? Why do you want it, really? He's going to say it in his numb way. He's not going to be emotionally invested in it. What kind of dua is that, Aslan? Anybody? Sheikh then says, you know, these are two impermissible forms. And he goes, what's worse than that is people going to the graves and seeking help at the graves, which leads to asking the people who are dead, who can't do anything for you, which is therefore an act of shirk. And he says that that's a problem, and it leads to major shirk as well. So this should be all avoided. So I want to make it clear that what Sheikh Uthaymeen says is to establish the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah, the aqidah of the Sahaba, the aqidah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that we should all take responsibility for ourselves, that we make dua ourselves, and we can